Good afternoon and welcome to the workshop for the city of Chula Vista on this day, May 9th, 2013. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Aguilar. Councilmember Bensusan. Councilmember Ramirez. Councilmember Salas. Mayor Cox.
Here. Please rise and join Mr. William Tunstall in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and remain standing for a moment of silence. Well, those of us up here on the dais have the agenda for this afternoon, and I see a speaker slip by one of our staff members. Did you want to wait until, or maybe that was an oops? Okay, you have now been erased. Oh. It was a button. It was a button push. There we go. Mr. Sandoval, you have a team up here who's going to tell us about economic development and marketing.
Yes, Madam Mayor, we do, and these are two areas that I personally feel are extremely important for the city now. I think that, you know, we've done all the difficult things and we've done the right things to get the city on a good, stable financial footing now. And I think, you know, we've all said this at one time or another, but I believe that the city is in a position right now to really take off and do great things. And these are two areas that we have to be very good at to be successful. One is to find ways to bring the high-paying jobs and to get more value out of our businesses. And then we have a very strong message to sell and to communicate to the people that want to invest in our community, and we need to make sure that we do a good job in doing that. So these things we felt we want to do together because we feel that they have a tremendous amount of coordination and commonality in terms of what they're trying to achieve. So bring them together in one afternoon seemed to make a lot of sense. So we're going to start off with Michael Meacham, our Economic Development Director. Michael.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, and thank you, City Council, staff, the public, for taking another evening out of your lives to engage in a conversation about economic sustainability of Chula Vista and marketing communications. We're going to try and make it interesting. Before we talk about milestones and short, medium, and long-term objectives, I want to talk a little generally about what economic development does. Since the city manager gave us this assignment 2 years ago, I've listened a little bit more closely to the public discourse about job creators and jobs, and people are not always on the same page, so it's important we have this dialogue to make sure we write the page with clarity and purpose as we move forward. Economic development endeavors to provide the tools and establish the atmosphere that empowers investors to build healthy, prosperous businesses, businesses that deliver products, and that the region, the world economy need and create the quality jobs, which are all components of establishing Chula Vista's economic sustainability. The secondary benefits of healthy businesses is that they provide the value, quality, and variety of goods and services that residents and businesses need and visitors want. When we do that well, the tertiary benefit is an economy that consistently produces a greater portion of the resources, revenues, the city needs to provide the services that residents and businesses need to build and maintain our quality of life at no additional cost to the same residents and businesses. Staff can analyze conditions and forecast potential target the policies, practices, and infrastructure needed to achieve the community's economic goals and objectives. And we can partner with businesses and residents to set the table to grow and build our local economy. However, it's at the end of the day, it's largely up to businesses and residents to understand the value of investing in their community, in economic capacity of our community, in creating the atmosphere that encourages existing and local entrepreneurs to make investments of time and treasure needed to build their businesses, as well as the positive impression needed to attract the best businesses, the best innovators, and quality employers in a very competitive world economy. Tonight, Craig and I will mention a few of our private sector partners that do this extremely well, and through active listening and hard work, we hope we have contributed a little bit to their success. So, to update you on the progress of economic development, we've developed an outline with a few major milestones that help us explain the recommendations for a roadmap to sustainable community prosperity. We talk about central demographic and economic facts, about the objectives of the department that have been assigned us, about a roadmap of how we get there, and how you can help. So these are the milestones. Thanks, Craig. So these are the milestones that we're talking about. A couple of salient facts, actually. We've talked about this before, a $1 billion gap. If businesses, the business-to-business transactions and business-to-consumer transactions, as we'll show later, were just average, it would generate at least an additional $1 billion in wealth for our businesses, which can translate not only into quality jobs, but more revenues for us to deliver services. We've been Chula Vista alone. But we're the lowest in total tax revenues and the bottom three of sales tax. But Chula Vista is above the region's average median household income. And we have strong census tracts and zip codes on both sides of the 805. So where we want to be, we've laid that out in a short-term, medium-term, and long-term perspective. The last 18 months or so, we've been working on the short-term stuff, developing tools, supporting local businesses directly, and building our network and team. In the second term, we've been distributing that information, expanding that network, and working on a few things like our small business and jobs investment policy. In the long term, we're really going to focus on targeting that effort, not only creating and building those tools, but through an assignment that we got last year and some resources that you provided the city manager, we're putting in place going through a process for a business cluster analysis. And that business cluster analysis is going to provide recommendations to help us focus where the best opportunities are to achieve these goals in Chula Vista. So a little bit about where we are. You've seen this slide before. Not my favorite slide in the sense of what it shows if you look at it simply. But if you look a little bit deeper, it's actually not the worst of circumstances. If we were, given the place that we're at financially, if we were doing really well on these numbers, we wouldn't create a lot of opportunity. But the fact that we have so much opportunity in the context of, I think, the demographics and the opportunities we have in front of us, you'll see that there is a great future for Chula Vista economic prosperity in the future. This is the 2010 slide. The 2012 data basically shows the same thing. So, again, you've seen this graph before. We send it to you quarterly, but we also send it to an awful lot of stakeholders who we think put it to really good use. This is really what opportunity sounds like in sales tax. Chula Vista is perennially in the bottom three cities in San Diego County in sales tax generation. Sales tax has become the largest source of revenue for the first time in recorded city history. I wanted to repeat that. Sales tax has become the largest source of general fund revenue for the first time in the city's history. The budget last year predicted about 22.3% versus 19.8% for property taxes. On this chart, the center line, the area between the red to the left and the green to the right, is the county per capita average. That's where, if you blend all the cities and unincorporated area together, that's where the average lies. The red bars represent opportunity, in my mind, to establish the right products and services in the right places at the right value. And by the way, when you look at this, and we've sent this in some of the emails before, some of the lines, you really have to turn it over and look at the numbers. Some of the lines that are red are not as bad as you think. Up at the top where it says general merchandise, as an example, Costco sells gasoline, and the revenue for gasoline from Costco, which is very substantial in our city, is not demonstrated or showing up in the gas line at the bottom for service stations. Similar for food with Costco and Walmart. So there are some balances there, but at the end of the day, we are still more than that $1 billion gap. This is not comprehensive, but it is representative of that. Another important factor for us is that 75% or more of Chula Vista get into their vehicles and take their intellectual capital and wallets with them to school and or work every day. You hear the city manager and I and others repeat that because I believe this slide points out some of the value and importance of focusing some resources, the resources you gave us last year, on developing quality jobs. Local quality jobs provide daytime, midweek customers that make our consumer-based businesses more prosperous, and that is a supporting reason and a latent benefit of doing the business cluster analysis and implementing it successfully. A tertiary effect of establishing quality jobs and building prosperity and quality of life for our residents is sales tax. That's the tertiary benefit, more resources for you to provide the services you know our public wants from the city. So this next slide, you take a look at it. Economic development staff uses all of this data. We overlay sales tax data with geographic data and combine it with commute patterns. We get precise tools that give our real estate, site consultants, mall managers, and business owners an edge in building and recruiting businesses. The stuff we're showing you is not a secret. We get it in the hands of people who can use it to build prosperity in our community. The data provides staff with a fact-driven tool to present a much more accurate picture of Chula Vista and a segue to the targeted opportunities for unlocking Chula Vista's potential. The data helps our businesses attract and build their tenant customer base, and they help us provide the services and goods the public wants. Staff can set the stage for business owners and commercial property professionals by providing the tools that factually demonstrate each neighborhood's potential. We can build private and public sector partnerships, and we can promote the facts. However, private sector management and the quality of service and product matter. They make a big difference. And here, I don't know if they're out here there tonight, but I wanted to mention Sudbury and George Yermanos and Diana Lawless and the Chula Vista Mall, Alan Clark. Those are examples of great management bucking the economic trend, working collaboratively with the city, and working very hard to find the right products at the right value for their particular locations. It's no surprise that their clients and properties are thriving in comparison, and what they have done the last 6 months for their clients and properties is going to reflect even more in the first quarter 2013 report that we'll have in about 90 days. If you've driven through those malls, if you've shopped at those malls, and I certainly hope you have, you can see properties that they manage on the west side and throughout Chula Vista that are doing much better than the average. They do a great job. I also wanted to mention Michael Monaco with First Bank. Michael's business develops workshops, and I think they really represent the new normal, the private-public partnership. Michael and his team put together, they find the startup businesses, they bring in private professionals in the legal, insurance, and finance area. The city plays a small role in providing some facts and support about the process, and I think Michael and First Bank do a great job and provide a really important service. It's something we want to do more often and duplicate. Together, we are helping those future businesses make informed decisions about their investments. So here's, no problem, thank you, Craig. So I think you've seen this before. Here's another example of some local data. Now, this is all from Sandag. You can find the cities on Sandag and you can find all this information, but nobody takes the time to put it together and do a comparison. And what we've done here is to compare Chula Vista by zip code to the rest of the cities. And you can see, you've heard me say this elevator speech a few million times, you're probably tired of it, but if you take the four top zip codes in Eastern Chula Vista and you kind of weed out for the Bonita part of it, you'll find that we have more wealth, more higher median household income, and more people than the top four or five cities, which are in order Del Mar, Solana Beach, Poway, and Coronado. You can take out Poway and put in Encinitas, and we're still there. So Craig and his staff are working very hard, and we're drilling down even more because we know stores have really strong interests, both when we are attracting new stores and helping our existing stores, about what's happening a little closer, a quarter of a mile or less. So they're using census tracts. And when we looked at those census tracts, we found a lot of valuable information, including, this may surprise you, that 7 West Side census tracts out of 26 West Side, west of 805, are 14% or $10,000 above the county median household income average. That's good data for the malls, restaurants on Broadway, and places like Urbana that are trying to get established. So you all know that Chula Vista is the 14th largest city that we have in California, that we're about the 76th largest in the U.S. out of 20,000 cities, 25,000 cities and townships, if you count all incorporated areas. And I think you may have heard other staff say this before, but we're also a big city that's not really well known for specific things yet. We're larger than Orlando, Florida, larger than Salt Lake City, larger than Richmond, Virginia, Montgomery, Alabama. That's important when you're reaching out particularly to name brands and you're asking people from a Landry's or a Darden restaurant group and you want them to locate and they're thinking Carlsbad or Del Mar or Coronado and they don't know they have a concentrated group of people who have more wealth in a closer area that are more likely to commute between their restaurants in just one part of Chula Vista. So based on incomes, Chula Vista has more than an adequate consumer base and at least, if not better, than an average sales tax potential. Based on what we know about certain levels of capture, particular border crossing retail capture along the Broadway Palomar corridor, we have the potential to do way better than average. Why data is important to people like the national groups I mentioned, the local and higher end brands, it helps us show the potential of Chula Vista and find their customers. So these are some of the tools, not all of them, but some of the tools we talked about. So how do we use them? So if people say to you, your city's not business friendly, you know what they mean? And if people say that, do they really know what they mean? The following slides, I think, will demonstrate more about our local analysis, how we use it, and how we generate that information, how we share it with the private sector to provide the tools and context, as well as the personal attention we offer to build an accurate picture of Chula Vista and build a truly business-friendly environment. That's what we've been building and demonstrating over the short term. So these are a couple of partners. We've already talked about the quarterly sales tax information. I briefly mentioned Michael Monaco's workshop. You may or may not know that we've done workshops like that ourselves. We've gotten two groups of real estate professionals in the Apple Store to promote not only Apple Store products, but how they can use them to distinguish themselves among realtors in the region. We got all of the government officials for purchasing agents for the school districts and a few other and water districts, and we had a workshop at Best Buy for them to learn how to purchase a broad variety of products locally at Best Buy. We did a similar thing at Home Depot. The city manager was there to kick it off, and we had 20, 25 builders, subcontractors of the three or four major developers in the city of Chula Vista. So we're trying to help those businesses in Chula Vista find their customers, and that's how we use those tools. One of the early tools was perhaps so simple, you know, we would not have thought of it right off the top, but we got to it pretty quickly, and it is just ask people. Just ask the customers, the consumers, what they need, why they're doing what they're doing. There's a great free tool called SurveyMonkey. Doesn't cost us anything. We sent it out to Goodrich employees. We sent it out to a few city employees, a couple of thousand people. We got 400 responses back. We picked gas stations. We thought gasoline was a service that was kind of generic, something that people would not be really brand sensitive about. And we asked them some very simple questions. When do you buy your gas, on the way home or the way to work? What do you like about the gas station? What do you need in the way of services? This is just one page of that survey, and we learned a lot. But we also, before we did that, we also mapped it. We knew that we were losing, we had what's called leakage of gasoline sales tax, and that was an important component of the revenue for the city and an important component of providing service and products to the citizens. So we put it on a map. And when we looked at it, we found out that out of about 43 gas stations in Chula Vista, 13 of them are on the east side. The rest of them are on the west side. So you have about half the population east of 805 and only about 14 gas stations to service them. When we drilled down a little bit further, we noticed that gas stations are frequently there on the side of the street where people come where people go to work. And in fact, as the survey showed, it didn't matter if whether you bought gas at home or you bought gas away, almost everybody, something like 80%, bought their gas on their way home, not on their way to work. So our gas stations might be on the wrong site. Anecdotally, I will mention to you the gas station at Olympic and Eastlake Parkway, one of the more visible gas stations. If you think about it, most of the housing is to the east. To get to that gas station, you go through two traffic signals. You turn right, go past a stop sign or two, and make a U-turn into the shopping center. I'm actually very proud when we presented that fact and showed this map at a manager's meeting, a mid-manager's meeting, one of the managers walked up, Tom Adler, and he said, you know, are we doing something? Is it the city? Is it the builders? Is there, you know, is it our approach that's not consumer friendly? How do we figure out what that process is? What can I do to help? He just instinctively knew, you know, and took it to another level that maybe there was something we can do or could stop doing that was providing the wrong incentive. If we'd put that, and this is not necessarily a fact, but think about that gas station just past the stoplight at street level. So you could pull in right before you get on the freeway, pull out without making all those turns and waiting and get on the freeway. What would that have done for the success of that gas station? So I'm really very proud of him and very proud of that process that I think a part of continuous improvement that's working in the city. So I want to turn it over to Craig, our principal economic development specialist, to talk about probably our most effective tool and one of our most important tools, the Enterprise Zone, which has racked up phenomenal success over the past 2 years, thanks to Craig's hard work and skill. He's going to tell you a little bit about the numbers.
Thank you. Enterprise Zone, we started this program back in 2006, and there are roughly 2,000 businesses that are part of this program. We expanded this the zone to add another 800 businesses earlier last year. And as we mentioned Tuesday in our report, we're submitting an application to the state to add another 90 acres and roughly a little over 200 more businesses to the zone. And then sometime within the next year, we're going to have another 350 acres. That'll be the end of our expansion capacity that we'll do within the next 12 months. We've had a steady increase in the number of businesses and employees that have been hired through this program. In 2010 or 2011, we had roughly 100 businesses and 1,000 employees that were either hired or retained because of this program. Last year, we had our best year as far as increase. We added another 40% of businesses. We got up to 140 businesses participating, and 1,400 employees were either hired or retained because of this program. And that's a lot of money. That's over $20 million in tax credits generated. We've been really focusing our effort on this program. You know, after the reorganization of our department as city manager, we've really focused our efforts on this program and trying to get the word out about this program. We're very happy about the increased participation, but on the other hand, it's roughly 5% of the businesses that are eligible to use it. So we've got a lot of room. There's a lot of people out there that either, you know, don't have the time to take advantage of it or think it's too good to be true. We've heard a lot of different stories, and we're working in a lot of different ways to try and increase that participation. One of the things we did a few months ago was a partnership with a local realtor, Charlie Adolfi, and his client, the Heritage Group. They own a building within the Enterprise Zone. They had a workshop they co-sponsored with us where we brought in people. We brought in 25 businesses and CPAs and some different people and came in. The Heritage Group paid for lunch, so that helped with the draw. But we also had myself and another tax consultant did a presentation to the people on how to use the Enterprise Zone. We've actually had one of those people who've since used the zones based on that workshop. But it was a partnership and a way for us to leverage our resources to get more people in sort of a different venue and a different way to use this program. So we're looking for other opportunities to do that. We've got some ideas for some other ones coming up, so we'll keep doing things like that in the future. We're working on, if you want to show this, we're trying to get the word out. And one of the simplest things we're doing is we're working with our realtors right now. And you see the signs everywhere, but to distinguish these properties that are in the zone, it's a bright sign. And, hey, there's tax credits here. We're also working, we've also had some direction from the council in the past about not just working with businesses, but working with employees who actually get these tax credits. So we've come up with this card, and I think we've passed one out to everybody here. But it's something that if you are somebody looking for work and you're out going for a job interview, you can show this to your potential employer and say, hey, if you hire me, you might be eligible for tax credits. And there's a phone number to call us and to find out exactly how. But it sets our residents and the groups of people that we're talking to, sort of helps them stand out in the pool and find out other employment opportunities. Did you have a question? We're working with, like, South County Career Center. When Michael or I are out there making presentations to different citizens groups, we're telling them about the program and how they can qualify. I've got a few thousand of these in my office. If you want to hand some out, I'm certainly happy to give more to anybody who wants them. We're trying to hit it from the employment side as well as the employee side. So that's just a brief update on where we are with that.
Thank you, Craig. I also just wanted to mention that some of our partners on that program, Cindy Gomper Graves, really puts a whip to us once a year and gets people on the street, the Feet on the Street program.
And I can't remember how many, couple hundred businesses we got to, Cindy, but she helps put a volunteer crew together. We try to get a few extra people, and that's one of the really good programs. Lisa Cohen and her staff and volunteers participate, and they've started doing their own thing recently, getting the word out about enterprise zones as well. So one of the things we're doing in the media, so we talked about the short term quite a bit, and I think one of the things that came out of the short term that was really important was we got pretty close to finishing the RFP for the business cluster analysis. That is something that we will complete in the next few weeks, so that will occur in our medium term. It's really important, and we think something you'll be really excited about when you see the results. But we also are expanding our network. We're not waiting on that. I think, as an example, one of the things on this list here is HR directors. Last month, or 2 months ago, Diana Vargas, our assistant in the group, started emailing the top 5 or 10 employers in Chula Vista. And we send them a bunch of stuff that we're going to show you later. But it's about getting the word out to people about hiring before it happens. So we saturate the network. We're getting this information, these tools. We did a significant revamp of our website in the short term. And in the long term, we've got it on business cards. We've got it on everything we print. If you go to the city's website now and you're looking for this information, all the stuff we're throwing at you tonight, it's much easier to find, thanks to IT, our partners in IT, GIS, and Ann's group. You can click on the top of any page that says business, and you get to this stuff. So it's much easier for us. It's faster, cheaper, more effective, more timely, and it's available to people around the world. Next page. So those things you've seen, they include the quarterly updates, some of the business promotions that we talked about. We have another one of those events coming up in the near future with an appliance store. I mentioned the departments that have helped a lot. We also, one of the things I wanted to mention here in the first term and medium term is we understand that facts matter. This is, we talked about the surveys for a reason because we're generating that, but most of our data comes either from the Board of Equalization, the Franchise Tax Board, the Employment Development Department. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple, but the U.S. Census Bureau. We're drilling down and finding more specific things about Chula Vista than you're seeing published, but it's there. The data and facts are there, and we're just bringing them out so people can see a more accurate picture of what Chula Vista has to offer. Next page. So as I mentioned, we started up this quarterly activity with the 10 HR directors. We think it's helping them make future employees make more informed decisions about where they want to live. We think it's helping HR directors with recruitment. We have a great story about quality of life, and we want to help tell it. We want to provide some facts. We send them information about the rental properties at Heritage Park and the great family and single housing that's there right in the middle of our employment clusters. We also have condos, and we have houses, for executives and Rancho Del Rey and East Lake and Otay Ranch. So there's great housing opportunities, and they're able to make informed decisions. So we know that when people buy a home here, it's more likely when they live in the same place they're going to work, if you go back to that gap analysis that we talked about, that these folks are going to help build that multiplier effect for Chula Vista business prosperity that also turns them into the generators of local revenues. So it's putting those pieces together, getting people to live here. We know people are coming already, getting those HR directors, working on bringing the right businesses, taking advantage of them to be those little engines that could, to be the generators of those resources and that we actually hold on to, like local taxes. So next slide. Thank you. So we continue to build the networks in the long term. We're going to use the tools to train and attract businesses. We're going to use the tools to facilitate innovation. We need to identify state and federal private resources to expand services. You saw the tools we created, and I hope that you recognize that they are things that we do or glean based on facts that are from reliable sources. And we've done most of this with Craig. I'm up here to take all the credit. He really does all the work. And about three other interns and Diana Vargas. So we think under the continuous improvement, under that effort, we're doing some, you know, really good different things. We need to identify and take the message to the best fit employers outside the region, as well as the supply chain for local companies. We need to expand our GIS IT partnership, and they'll help us create local and regional maps and data sets that help existing businesses and future businesses that find the sweet spot for the Chula Vista businesses to locate and their customers. At the end of the day, I think that we have a great opportunity to use this data to build that vision that you've always had for Chula Vista and quality of life, but with the jobs housing balance even much better than we have today. So Craig's going to briefly talk about the business cluster study that I've mentioned and you've heard about.
Just real briefly, the business cluster study, it's also the subtitle is the competitive assessment and best fit targets. So the purpose of this is, you know, what are the city's strengths and assets that we have to attract quality jobs, but also what areas are we weak? Where are we deficient? What do we need to do to improve, whether it be policies or programs that we need to implement to also attract those quality jobs? And as part of this effort, in this study was a competitive location assessment. And so a real estate person who helps corporate location, he came in and did an assessment of our city as if he was attracting a large employer to our city and went and interviewed, I think we talked to 47 different people in the whole aspect of it. You know, what's the land availability, building availability, what's the entitlement process, what's the lending market, got a bunch of different perspectives from all the range of people that you would interact with this. When the report comes out and we're going to show you next month, you know, sort of where do we score? What's our strength? What's neutral? And where do we need to improve? And we'll take that information plus some of the analysis based on the clusters that are in our city and in our region and where we should be actually out there targeting our efforts to attract those types of businesses. So next month in June, you will be seeing that. So stay tuned.
So how we get there? I'm not going to read the slide to you. I've tried to avoid that tonight, but I think the information is on the slide. The Enterprise Zone, we've talked a little bit about. You've heard about it a lot. It really is a very important tool. One of the reasons why it's so important is because it distinguishes us a little bit in the region. And when we talk to people, recently talked to the folks at the state with regards to the Affordable Care Act, one of the businesses that's been placed that employed a large number of people said they did it in large part because they were going after those Enterprise Zone benefits. We can use that to our benefit. But we also have to get smarter and more sophisticated, not only in our message, but in our tools for the historically underutilized business zone, the hub zone, and free trade zone. We need to build on what we hope is a reputation of concierge service. When these critical businesses come in, we want to provide that kind of service to everybody, but particularly targeting that real value business when they come to Chula Vista. In the medium term, one of the things that we did, because we reduced our staff and all, and we moved folks around and we got into that new normal that Jim talks about, Craig Ruiz, even though he's in economic development, was trained as a project manager. And as a project manager, when certain kinds of projects come in that we know have high economic value, Craig is trained to run them through the development services process. So he can manage that process, and he can help that business get to a point of success. But even more than that, in the process of doing that, he develops relationships with strong relationships with everybody at each level of the process, each point of the process, so that he can step in and help on any project that needs that kind of assistance. We're doing that with two people. We're doing that in a circumstance where the city's reduced their staff by 30%. It's led to things like those numbers you heard on Enterprise Zone, huge improvements. I think that's a testament to what all of the staff have employed. We rely heavily on Kelly's people and Gary's people, the people in IT, Maria Cacciadorian's people. I think we're getting that done because the people are working together under the system. So just like that program and the other programs we mentioned, one of the things I think that's two things I think that are really important in the long term are, I'm a little late. I've got to get that business and jobs investment policy in front of you soon. There's a lot of opportunity there for us to target who we're going to attract to provide quality jobs in our city and where our communities need them the most. And then that will complement and work with the data and the recommended steps that come out of the business cluster study. So that's how we get there, and I hope I'm getting close to the last slide. I talked enough about that. So how you can help. We're going to jump to how you can help. So residents, thank you for being here tonight. Buy local, the network and employee expansion supply. You've all heard about Shop Chula Vista Now. You're going to hear a lot more about it in a few minutes. Buying local matters. Hiring local matters. Businesses, we've got to get that message out to them and continue to do that and build on the quality and the success of that. Businesses, it's the same thing, but it's working with all of our partners in the Chamber and South County EDC, using the tools we have, the use tax program. You know, I've said it before, when you have that first conversation with the business, if they're buying high-value stuff from out of state, we've got to get it in front of them as the very first item. It's often too late in the process when they walk up to the counter and they start working. But lastly, the city council, certainly not least. Ask every business these five basic questions when you talk to them. Are you hiring? Are you buying equipment? Do you import, export? Do you contract with the federal government? If the answer is yes, or you anticipate someday that the answer will be yes, please send them to the Business Economic Development Team and send the Economic Development Department staff contact information. Those will have huge impacts on our opportunity to help them in the federal trade zone, in the hub zone, the enterprise zone, and the policies that we talked about. Thank you very much. I am going to turn it over to Ann, mm-hmm. who's going to finally get a chance to talk about marketing and communication.
Michael, let me see if the council has questions or comments on your portion of the presentation, if that works for you. Mr. Sandoval, any thoughts?
Yeah, just a couple of comments as maybe a way of synopsis to Michael's presentation, which I thought was very thorough. Now, I've kind of looked at this. You know, we've had this economic development function in place for about 2 years. And as Michael said, and he's reminded me more than once, you might imagine, it is pretty lightly staffed. But I think they've been doing a good job of really planting seeds that will start seeing pay dividends. You know, the Enterprise Zone, it does help our local businesses that are existing in terms of expanding their operations. We're trying to make it easier to do business in Chula Vista, and we're trying to plant seeds right now and to make our community aware of the fact that if you buy things in Chula Vista, those benefits, a portion of the money you spend eventually comes back to services that we can provide your community, you know, longer library hours, those type of things. We haven't installed the Do Not Enter sign in front of Plaza Bonita yet. I don't know how many people tell me, you know, Jim, I do shop in Chula Vista. I go to Plaza Bonita all the time, but, you know, we need to get that sign up there. But one of the most important things we're doing as a city right now, I believe, is this business cluster analysis that Michael and Craig both spoke with. If you recall, you know, things were really tight last year at budget, but you put up the money that was necessary to allow us to do this business study. And if you look at the way the city is structured right now, and I think a lot of this information is telling, we have census tracts with people that have a lot of disposable income. On average, our city is a higher income city than the other cities in the region. And yet we're just about dead last in sales tax capture. So if you think about that and what it tells you, and then you look at our housing stock. We have a lot of a wide variety of housing types and prices. We also have a lot of very expensive homes. So, you know, really what it comes down to is people's buying habits. And the fact of the matter is, when everybody leaves town every day to go somewhere else to work, that's where they're spending their money. And then when they come back to Chula Vista, they've spent their money somewhere else, but we're trying to provide the services, and it's a mismatch. So the key really comes down to bringing in those high-paying jobs. So what we did is we found a firm that has experience and helping to determine what type of industry clusters we should go after, what attributes we have that are would bring in business, and where our deficiencies are, where we need to fix. And then the third thing is they have experience in knowing how to recruit those businesses and bring them in here. And, you know, we ask them to look very wide, look globally. Don't just look at the San Diego market and say, well, this type of cluster might be underserved. Maybe that's what we want to do. Maybe we want to expand there. But we also said look worldwide, look nationally, and look statewide, and see what industries are out there and what emerging industries are coming, and determine what the best possible fits for Chula Vista could be, then give us a target of businesses to go after and give us a strategy on how to go get them. So I think that what they're referring to is this report coming out in June is really important in terms of our city's future. So those are my comments. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to just ask Council if you'll limit your comments or questions to the slides that have already been presented, and then we can go on to Ann's presentation, ask questions there, and then maybe go to more general ones if they weren't tapped. So if you have a slide in particular that you want to refer to, if you'll just tell staff the page number they're on, and we'll be within three slides for the staff to try to hunt that one down. Begin with Ms. Salas.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for a very thorough presentation. I did have some questions, and I didn't write down the slide numbers. You mentioned that we were the lowest in tax revenues and the second lowest in sales tax revenues. And one of the things I would like to notate is that we're second highest in population. And I think that that wasn't on the slide. So, you know, we need to really highlight that relative to the potential of businesses to capture that sales leakage that's going on. Another thing is that the presentation was really quick. So you mentioned that this year sales tax revenues exceeded the revenue that we get in sales tax, and I failed to hear what the number was. You know, like what's the difference now between the two, or do you know?
Yep. Madam Mayor and Council, I apologize. If you want to go back to that slide. Oh, you have it right there. Sort of anticipated that question. What I meant to say, if I didn't say it correctly, is Chula Vista is in the bottom. We move around the bottom three from year to year in sales tax, so not necessarily the second to the bottom, but somewhere in the bottom three. Sales tax exceeded property taxes for the first time in our history. And the numbers were, I want to say, 23. Percent and 19%. There was a percentage there, but this is a breakdown of where those revenues come from. But on I guess on slide 23 it says that as well. But there's a the slide that talked about the sales tax gap under the gap analysis. I believe that section has the specific number, okay. But it's 23%. In sales tax, I believe, in 19 in property.
That's really significant. Really significant, because it used to be the other way around.
Forever.
Yeah.
As long as we were recording it.
Okay. So also, you were talking about, you know, the zip codes and where people shop, where they get their gas. And you talked about the income relative to the income of other cities. Do we know, based on income, the average amount that a family has the potential to spend? Because just knowing what the income is doesn't always relate to what they're going to be spending.
Sure. We actually played with a number that we called buying power, and we've talked about that a little bit. We didn't present it to you tonight. It's not one of those, reformulated fact-based numbers that comes That's just a different way of putting together the numbers from Sandag, representing the same data. In this case, we had to actually go in and create some formulas. We tried to look at some things that are done at state level and nationally. But I'll get that number back to council in a memo. Our buying power is good. Our buying power is significant. The logical questions are about where people are on their mortgages, where they are on the size of their families, and those kinds of things. We looked at a lot of those. We looked at whether or not we had a disproportionate number of people buying at the commissary and PX compared to places that we could compare to, like Oceanside or whatever. All of those numbers looked favorably for Chula Vista or neutral. So there was nothing in the indication to suggest that, for one reason or another, our citizens would not compare to those average the county talks about and Sandag talks about.
Okay, and then the final question that I have to you relates to the enterprise zone. In the presentation, that you mentioned that only 5% of the eligible businesses actually sign up for the enterprise zone. And first of all, the process to sign up, I would have really liked to see the application for an enterprise zone so that way we know what businesses have to encounter. What is the paperwork that they have to go through to sign up? Is it easy? What's the state side of it, too? Because I know that there has to be reporting requirements. So is it a matter of the process of signing up that's inhibiting businesses from signing up? And is there anything that we can do about that?
Madam Mayor and Council, my answer is careful what you wish for. It is a government program. There is a lot of paperwork. Having said that, it's easy in the sense of you don't really have to sign up. That's why on Tuesday night you helped us with some authorization to expand the zone. Once you're geographically located in the zone, you're eligible to apply for credits for employees, capital improvements, lending, those kinds of things. That's where the paperwork starts. And the challenge of the process is you have to get the paperwork early, and you may not get your tax credit for a long time. So it's about keeping paperwork up front. And I will tell you the best thing I can say tonight for you and the audience is that Craig and the other partners in the zone, which are National City and San Diego, work very hard, and we put together lists. We went from 80 to 120 participants in the CPA workshop in this room this year, and we've done it 2 years in a row, and we're doing another one just for our people to tell the CPAs who service those businesses how to do it. Because many of them are not taking care of they don't know how to provide those benefits to the businesses they already have, and they don't know how they can use it to build their clientele. They're like the supply chain for a production company. We want our CPAs to benefit and be the smartest on the So we hold workshops. Craig and the other zone partners get the BOE and the Franchise Tax Board and the state enterprise zone staff down here, and we're teaching the teachers, which I think is the most valuable thing. The paperwork is complicated. The state has done some good things. And Cindy Gomper-Graves is a major participant in that program and getting the CPAs together, too. Thank you, Cindy.
And we're always looking for ways to make the process easier. I mean, if a business has questions, we'll go out and meet with them. We'll walk them through them. We'll show them what paperwork they need. I mean, we put it in printed form. We do it in a whole variety. We're always looking for new ways. And, some businesses just don't have the time. They're too busy running a business. I mean, there's one business, he drives me crazy. He opened a business, and I knew when he was starting, and he bought a bunch of equipment, and he hired everybody from the career center. So he would have had 10 eligible employees plus all his equipment. He's expanded the business. He's doubled in size. He's still never taken advantage of it because he doesn't have time. I've sent consultants over there. I've had people meet with them. We're talking over $100,000 he's leaving on the table. The best one we found is when we have a business owner tell their neighbors, this is what I did and this is how much money I saved. That's been the most effective. And we're always looking for those stories and we're always trying to get those out there to people.
By the way, one other thing I would add to that is that even the CPAs that do from Chula Vista who do not come to the workshop, we email them the instructions and the handouts for their employers and employees. We send them that information, so they have it electronically.
Do you have something simple that you can mail out that says,
yes,
did you know that you can ABCD?
We've done both for every business. We've done it door-to-door, thanks to Cindy. We've done it by snail mail. We've done it by email. We hold these workshops. But we have a single page that gets their attention and talks about the value. for employees and one for employers. And by the way, just to put it in perspective, last year, with that about 40% increase, we had 140 businesses generate about $22 million in tax credits for that year alone for their businesses for employees. That doesn't count their capital lending credits they may have gotten.
That's terrific, and that was the final question that I had is, you know, with all the efforts that you've had, do you have measurable numbers where you can say that, you know, the participation in Enterprise Zone has increased by X amount?
40%.
Fantastic. Keep up the good work. Work more.
Thank you. Ms. Ben-Susan?
When you were talking about the CPAs, that's been an effective way to educate and, like, the supply chain. Where are you targeting the CPAs? Because I know a lot of companies don't use local CPAs. Are you going beyond Chula Vista to reach the CPAs?
This is a partnership between National City and San Diego, and when we do the annual event, we do CPAs for the partner cities. But in that group, you have people like Ernst & Young. So they are, and there's several of those groups in downtown San Diego, so they get captured. We also work with Team California and a couple of other groups like that who have experts. We actually bring in people usually who are not working in our area to do the presentation, so we're not biasing the crowd over picking one local CPA over another, when we do that with businesses. So we do reach out. We haven't done it nationally or internationally, but we've done a good job in Southern California.
I was just thinking maybe, you know, I believe they have professional associations. Maybe you could be, and professional associations usually typically have monthly meetings, and they look for speakers to come. They give you a chicken dinner, and you speak. And that might be a way to get the word out. You know, it might be a way to go to the professional organization meetings in San Diego with this message about our enterprise zones in Chula Vista. It might be a way to get some of those CPAs on their radar to maybe move some businesses to Chula Vista.
Excellent. I just also wanted to mention that what I told you tonight about those kinds of things, the tools and actions, are really just scratching the surface of what Craig and the interns do, and I sit up here and take the credit for. They do a lot. We've done those workshops and that outreach with people in the real estate level market that actually do that work before. So we haven't cracked the nut. If anybody knows a CPA who's an officer in that association, please give us a call. We'd love to get on their list.
Okay. On slide 9, we've got it right in front of us. I noticed this humongous difference. It looks like close to 25% or over 25% in the median household income in the 91915 zip code in the last 2 years. The other zip codes are, you know, much smaller percentages. But this zip code difference, I mean, in this 25% increase in median income in 91915. Have you figured that out? What accounts for that?
Well, one of the things is we get the census, or SANDAG gets the census data, and then every year they get information from Department of Finance and Bureau of Labor Statistics, and those subsequent years are estimates, and then the census comes out, and they true it up, because when you look at some of the other cities, they went lower and things like that. So the 2012 is an accurate number based on the 2010 census, and that 10 number is actually based on 10 years of projections. So part of it's just the true-up of the number and making it more accurate, and I think that's a big part of it. And then you take into consideration that 10 years ago there was hardly anybody living out there in that zip code.
That's
part of it as well.
Houses, okay. So it's what you can deduce from that is that it's an attractive area for high salary earners, high income people. That it's a marketable area. In your enterprise zone I noticed that there seems to be, and I know you made a comment at the South County DC meeting on Tuesday morning about the qualifications for veterans. And so I think that's a really good area to maybe hook up with some of. In the paper the other day, they were talking about the numbers of returning military that are huge percentage of them are want to stay in San Diego when they get back into the bases here. So maybe connecting with some of those bases and employment centers to let them know about this would be helpful. I mean, not that it's like having a bunch of soldiers, no pun intended, going out and doing your marketing for you, because they, if they understand it and they understand that they qualify and what that could mean potentially to an employer, then they're spreading the word. You know, you've got that many more people out there helping you to get it going.
That was part of my intent with ending with how you can help. And Madam Mayor and Council, you are five of our most important soldiers. So you need to help us tell people how they can plant their business in Chula Vista and watch it grow.
And you mentioned in slide, I think it was slide 19, the free trade zone. And I didn't know we had free trade zones in Chula Vista.
It's actually called the foreign trade zone, and it's for people who do import-exporting.
Okay, it doesn't operate like a free trade zone, like in different countries where it's tax-free?
Yes. For people who import-export, you can participate in it. There's certain, obviously there's certain restrictions in some of the things, I mean, most commonly with NAFTA and many of the products don't apply to this. But a lot of companies that we have that do import-export do take advantage of this, or we have a handful of them.
In most countries, the businesses that qualify as free trade zones usually are grouped together. Do we have anything like that in Chula Vista?
The way the program was recently, we used to have it. There was a huge application process that you had to go through to be part of a foreign trade zone. And there's a couple of business parks in Otay Mesa that went through that. There are just a handful, and we have one business here in Chula Vista that went through it. But about a year ago, we changed the process, and basically it's a much simplified process, but it's all of San Diego County now is in a foreign trade zone. And actually, it's within 60 miles of the border is the basic qualification.
So that's something that we can market.
Absolutely.
Okay. And what is, you referred to an executive summary. Oh, it's actually in the same slide in the lower left-hand corner. What is an executive summary?
So the executive summary is the portion that, the brief of the business cluster analysis that pulls together the first, as an executive summary of the first phase and what the recommendations would be to move forward on a second phase. So the first phase is about identifying, as Jim said, worldwide what those best fit businesses and opportunities are to create quality jobs, jobs above the median household income in Chula Vista to drive that economic sustainability. The summary is a shorter document.
Is that the tool portion of it that you use to?
That'll be the part that will, again, it just summarizes it, makes it easier for you to, it's a 160 page plus document, not counting the attachments and appendices. It'll be very difficult for anybody to read the whole thing that isn't a wonk and really interested in the detail. I think the executive summary is that tool that'll be most used by the public.
And so you'll promulgate that among the potential.
Just like this report tonight, once we fix that mistake I made about foreign versus federal trade, we'll put it on the website.
Okay. One last question or comment. Those yellow signs are really, are all the cities doing that, or is that just Chula Vista? Do we have anything in the planning department in public areas that, like a display of that sort of thing, or handouts? And okay, that's very eye-catching. Thank you. Good job.
Thank you. I'm Ms. Aguilar. Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, I would, maybe it's me and I need new glasses or something, but I'm having, especially when you have that chart up with the green lines on it, I cannot read it, and these are so tiny I can't read this. So I would appreciate it getting like a hard copy in 8.5 by 11 of these slides. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I still am not totally clear about the business cluster analysis. I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember when the council agreed to fund it, but I'm not clear as to where we are with it. We've hired a consultant, right? Or you have?
Yes. In the short term, we have effectively completed the study. In this medium term, we'll be delivering the study to you with a recommendation, which will be
okay.
Probably first week of June.
So first week in June, the council get the study. Now, by this, do you mean just the executive summary or phase one, or what are we going to be getting exactly? Because you said there were phases.
You'll get the entire study. And what the study does is phase one is that it does the data analysis and measurement of what our capacity is, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and what are those businesses that are prioritized best chances to create what the study sought, which is high-paying jobs in a variety of sectors throughout the world. The remainder of the study doesn't implement the study. Phase two identifies the steps you'll need to do a recruitment to actually help the businesses that are locally here that have the potential to expand and create those jobs and find those businesses around the world, whether they be supply chain of local businesses or brand new businesses to the region, and what you need to do to get them here.
So in June we'll be getting just phase one or phases one and two?
You will be getting a document that says that it's phase one and phase two. But just to be clear, phase two does not implement. It just identifies the steps needed to implement.
Okay, but we'll be getting the whole thing.
Correct.
Okay, all right, thank you. That's all I need to understand. What I didn't hear in your presentation is any mention of the importance of our image and reputation. And I don't know if that's something Ann is going to cover. Is that
part of the branding of the second section?
Actually, I hate to hop in, but that's why we did them together tonight, because you're right.
Yeah.
I think they go hand in hand.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if I'm an employer and I'm thinking, am I going to go to Carlsbad? Am I going to go to Chula Vista? Am I going to go to Escondido? I mean, the reputation that city has, when I talk to my fellow business owners, you know, the people I play golf with, is critical, I think. And one of my questions was going to be, and again, I'm not quite sure what the crossover is between you, Michael, and you, Ann, but do you plan to do a survey to find out what a scientific survey, not just call people, but a scientific survey to find out what reputation and image we have with potential people in businesses who get to make the choice as to where to locate?
Excuse me. Madam Mayor and Council, that's effectively what phase one was intended to do. They have one of the partners is a very well-respected site acquisition consultant for major businesses from throughout the world. And they were part of the team because of their expertise. They made some 40 or 50 phone calls to people in Chula Vista, people in the region of Southern California, and picked a few specific businesses throughout the United States. I think that will naturally be a part of the transition to in phase two as well. But this is based on that kind of science and data, not just phone calls, although I think the research folks would consider well-done phone calls to be part of the science. They've also
If the sample is scientific.
Absolutely. And they've interviewed people directly and I think you'll be impressed. Again, we barely touched on it this evening when I the study, but when I talked about giving a clear picture and an accurate picture of what Chula Vista is And when we talked, just what made one comment about Shop Chula Vista Now, which is not a marketing plan.
Michael, I feel like you're going down a road here. Let me try to ask the question again. I don't want to interrupt, but I don't want to waste the council's time either. So, are we going to get answers to the question from people within businesses who make relocation decisions as to what their opinion is of Chula Vista?
Yes.
Are we going to get that information?
Yes.
Okay, and that's in phase one or phase two?
Phase one.
Phase one. Okay, great. So this consultant, whoever did that, actually asked that question. How do you feel about Chula Vista?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. On your final slide, the how you can help slide, under the, it's on page 7 of what we have, under the city council, again, I can barely read this, this is better, establish urgency for tax use policy with prospects, recognize and promote the enterprise, foreign trade, and hub zones, concierge, economic development assistance, zoning choices, using city websites, city's other strengths, promote your buy local satisfaction, and use Shop Chula Vista Now. So that's a lot that you want us to do. And it would be really helpful if you would, I don't even know what most of these things mean. It would be really, if you really would like us to do this, it would be good if we had the tools to be able to do it, because I certainly don't feel I have these tools now. And at one point, you know, I mean, we all agree that this is an incredible city with incredible assets that is not well recognized in the region. I think you agree to that, right? We all agree to that? Yeah. Okay. So, would it be possible, or would you? And again, I'm not sure if it's Michael or Anne. Prepare like a short canned PowerPoint presentation so that all of us here on the council, when we go meet with the Kiwanis Club or blah, 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 or whoever it is we meet with, you know, we can say, look at Chula Vista, look at the assets we have, and thereby get the word out. Okay, I'm skipping ahead. Is that it? Okay, all right.
Mr. Sandoval.
Yes, I want to make it for the record clear that I didn't ask Councilman Aguilar to ask that question, because that's a beautiful tee up to where we're headed on the second part of the presentation. And
we do have Mr. Ramirez, who would like to ask a question or comment before you go to Ann, if you would.
Okay, and I just wanted to bring up one quick comment on that. Michael answered the question about, did we reach out, did the firm that's doing the cluster analysis reach out to determine, you know, what the reputation of is Chula Vista and what we need to do to change it. When we do get to Ann's part, the reason we brought MJE in to help us with our branding and some of our image work is because we wanted them to focus on what it would take to bring in business and investment. That was their focus. And the work they've done in the past, which I've liked, is based on hard data and analysis as they create their image campaign. So the two, Michael and Ann, have been working hand in hand on this, the two different parts. So,
great. Yeah. Last question. All the things that you're doing, Michael, the goal of all of them really is to change our ranking in the county with regard to the amount of sales tax we capture. Is that, do I have that right?
Madam Mayor and Council, I would actually say it differently.
Okay.
What I tried to say in the opening remarks is that it's been my interpretation, and I've said this, and I think gotten clarity and support from the city manager's office, that my job is to help businesses create that prosperity for them. They ultimately do it. It's their work, their effort, their sweat, their investment that makes it happen. But we're here to remove barriers. We're here to provide tools.
Hey, Michael, what I want to know is the objective of everything you're doing to raise our rank in the sales tax list of who gets the most?
No, I said it's earlier not. That's a tertiary benefit.
It's a tertiary benefit.
Of creating economically sustainable and prosperous businesses who hire quality who create quality jobs that as a better quality of life for our employees, and then they'll go out and spend money and be local consumers, and that is by doing what's best for our community, we as a city will generate the revenues we need to.
Okay, so that's kind of a leap that you're making there.
Well, there's analysis.
Go ahead.
Now, I believe that there's a good, strong history of data and analysis that suggests that. And we try to say that succinctly for you when we talk about 70% of the people in Chula Vista getting in their cars and taking their wallets and their intellectual capital with them and leaving every day. It's very hard for a restaurant, as an example, to survive on dinner on Thursday and Friday and Saturday night and not have people during the day for lunch or breakfast and lunch. So that's just a scratch-the-surface example of why you need and why we said in the presentation that having quality local employment will create daytime midweek consumers.
Okay.
That is the direct.
You say there's data that supports that. You have data that supports that?
Yes.
Okay, I'd love to see the data, so you could send it to me. I'll read it. I'll read all 170 pages plus the appendices. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ramirez?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well, I've had a fair amount of contact with Mike on his program, and I'm confident that as I understand it, it is a fantastic program. I don't really feel like I could think of something that you haven't already thought about. I think that, Mike's the kind of guy that probably thinks about this in his sleep and operationalizes, some of these ideas that they come up with. I mean, not just Mike, but Mike's team, of course. And so I really don't feel like I could add anything to it. I think that they're doing a bang-up job and developing a great strategy for economic development. I remember calling you at one point when I saw I was driving out on the east side and saw some of those yellow signs about Enterprise Zone that were being placed on the for lease signs that, some of these properties put out advertising their space. And I thought, what a great way of doing that, because it gets anybody that's driving by can see that they're in an Enterprise Zone, and people might, start thinking about an Enterprise Zone and what is it and how does it help us. And then the fact that folks leasing property could use that as a tool to create incentives for themselves to lease more property. I mean, it just seemed like a great tool that I hadn't seen before. I'd never seen it before anywhere. But anyways, that's just one of the many things that you guys are doing. The only issue that I have I don't have an issue with the program. I think it's great. But it's, in my view, a long-term program. It's not something that brings us, I think, short-term benefits. In terms of strictly looking internally into city operations and city services, and that's an area that I think that, we haven't done a whole lot of in the city. It's not even part of this program, but the part that I think is, where we do need to spend some time and focus on. And so I see this program really as a long-term program. I mean, doing things and thinking about where we put gasoline stations, for example, or changing people's buying habits. I mean, think about that. That's so difficult to do, And we got to start somewhere, and we've started, and it's a good program and all of that. But I guess the issue for me or the question is, if it is a long-term proposal program, we're going to have to do something to begin to sort of institutionalize that, within city operations, I think, to give it staying power. I think that if we don't do that, then, if Mike's gone or something else happens in the department, the whole program might go away. I don't know. Some horrendous budget cut or something, and the program goes away. So we need to figure out a way of creating sort of the rules and the policies and all of that that'll keep this program going for the long run, because we're making an investment right now in putting this program together and all of the work that we're doing. I think it's worthwhile. I think we need to do it, but let's be careful that we're able to preserve that program for the long term, since this is a long-term program. So that's really it. Yeah.
If I may, yeah. Madam Mayor and Council, just real briefly, it may have been before you got here, Council Member, but the two things I would point to that we're doing today is that we've had workshops and brought consumers and buyers together at the large scale with realtors and the Apple Store two or three times, with Best Buy, with Home Depot, and the developers. We're doing another one with homeowners, general contractors, and appliance retailers next month. We do those things on a regular basis, and most importantly and valuably, I think you'll see in Shop Chula Vista now, something that we, that's really been a tremendous effort through Ann's good work. But we couldn't do, so we do have things happening short term. Long term, if you remember in the strategy the city brought forward, it's one of the five pillars. I think that, the city manager's office has guaranteed that as part of the strategy and continuous improvement, and that's why you have people like Tom Adler, and I just mentioned Tom, but I could probably mention eight other people if I gave it a second, in all the departments who are taking this approach and who are bringing opportunities to Craig and I. So I do believe it's being, implemented as a culture citywide. And lastly, I would say Craig and I cannot do any of what we do, not only without Ann, but without IT and GIS. They played a huge role in all the nice things you've looked at tonight, and the data behind it, and as has development services and public works and finance. They've just been incredibly important to this. So I think the fact that if I'm up at night doing anything, it's unfortunately figuring out ways to make their life miserable from 7:30 in the morning till 6 at night, asking them to do work for me. And they do it with a smile usually.
Yeah. No, I get that. But I'm just saying institutional. I mean, I think that we need, I don't know if it's policies, procedures, something that and I don't even know if this is where we look at it, but when large projects are coming through the planning department, that there's an analysis. At some point, there's an automatic trigger that where there's an analysis that we need to place certain retail outlets in certain locations, or that there should be some sort of strategy, anything that would ensure that as the program goes forward in time, it has, it's institutionalized. And I don't, maybe you're already doing some of that stuff. I'm not sure. I just think that's the important thing. So we don't lose any of the ground. And then with regards to the Shop, Chula Vista and all of that, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's a good program. We ought to be doing that. I think others are doing that also, and I appreciate the work of the Chamber and the South County EDC. I mean, those are groups that I think are important to take the lead on some of these issues and some of these programs. But a difficult thing to do. And I mean, I appreciate you're doing it, but I don't know. I'm not sure that we're going to find a lot of short-term revenues back to the city anytime soon. A lot. Because the hurdles are so hard. I mean, the buying habits, But anyways, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm going to take one more question or comment from Ms. Salas. I've been watching the clock. We've typically have our workshops for 2 hours, and my guess is Ms. Steinberger has a robust presentation as well. In the event that the workshop takes longer than 2 hours, I'll suggest that council members take a stretch break, and then we'll turn this meeting over to the Deputy Mayor. Ms. Salas.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And just a word of caution or advice to the council, and I'm sure that Mr. Meacham is well aware of this, but I heard that I'm glad that we're taking a multi-strategy approach and not putting all our eggs in one basket in the Enterprise Zone, because, as we know, that's a state program. And I know Lisa Cohen and Cindy Gomper-Graves visited me in Sacramento when I was in the Assembly, because there was a move by the state legislature to do away with the Enterprise Zone. And it's always a temptation for the legislature to do that. So thank you for taking a multitask approach. We all support the Enterprise Zone as it is today, but that is subject to change.
Thank you. And with that, Ms. Steinberger.
Thank you very much. I think that we'll answer some of these questions as I move through this presentation. So, and I made a little notes while you were asking questions, so hopefully we'll cover all of that. Thank you, Craig. So we're now in the marketing communications update portion, and what we hope to present to you is part recap, what we've done in the last year plus, part look ahead, and part pizzazz. And as Jim mentioned, MJE Marketing is here. They've continued to work with us, so we have some items to show you from their work as well. And there would be no marketing communications program without the marketing team, and I'd like to recognize Diane Howell and Stephanie Kingston and Kim Shands, and a lot of this work wouldn't happen without them, so thank you very much. The title of this presentation is Chula Vista in Motion, and not to be selfish, but I think I've been in motion since I started here. It's not all about me, though. It's also about what's been happening. And it was a great time to start in November of 2011 because things were really starting to crest upward for that wave. But what I did come into was some strong research that had been done, and it really helped inform how I got started and how we continue today. And I made a quick note to tell you that we shared that research with the business cluster consultants so they would see what had been done from a marketing standpoint about Chula Vista, about its image, et cetera. But we're using that research to help us in look at how we position the city of Chula Vista now and going forward, how we use the research to address that east-west disconnect that we see. We also are using the research to, it has told us that we really need to embrace our multicultural diversity, so we're using that information to help inform our marketing communications program. You see that bullet right there. We're using the research to help inform how we attract more businesses and grow our local businesses. Again, to capture sales tax revenue. So while that's just one part of this whole effort, we did start our one of our big marketing pushes last year with this capture more sales tax revenue through Shop Chula Vista Now. And again, the research continues to inform how we're implementing the marketing and communications plan. We're able to go back to the research, see if we're doing it right, see what else we can do to improve our efforts. We're also tying these strategies to the strategic plan that staff is working on that we've brought forward to you. So we will be able to track progress over time. We'll be able to see how these strategies and tactics fit into the overall citywide strategic plan because it's marketing isn't separate from all of the things that we do around here. So that will be reflected in the strategic plan that you'll see in the coming months. And it tells how we're going to be engaging our communities. Of course, a lot of that has already gone on. We have some strategic alliances that have been in place over the years, but we are continuing to grow those efforts. We have big picture projects. We talk a lot about those here, but those are really helping to put us on the map and really helping to provide something to talk about as we market and communicate Chula Vista. And, oh, lastly, sorry, our programs and services. You know, you don't have to look for anything good to talk about as well with all the programs and services we have here, from our environmental programs, from our recreation programs, our swim programs. There's a lot to talk about, and our team works hand-in-hand with my colleagues so that we can market those and communicate those in a creative way. So I thought I'd start with a look to the future because that, again, is helping to inform how we communicate now about what's going on in Chula Vista. So these items here, many of them have been before you recently, but certainly the great image and future for our bayfront is something that is that we're talking about. Our university is what we're talking about. The Millennia Project, that's going to, we know, break ground this year. And our future in transportation. There's a lot going on down here on all of our north-south and east-west major transportation networks. So there's a lot to talk about with Chula Vista connecting to the region and to the south. So we have a lot going on in our future that that we're able to talk about. So I thought I would start there as the big picture and then move through to what we're doing mid and short term. But I thought it would be good if we started with how is this process going to work? And Councilmember Aguilar asked about some tools, and I'll reference those here. Our communications process is multi-pronged. It and you saw that circle go around because it really doesn't start or end with anybody. It's all of us working together. So certainly communications is a big part of the process. The city council, the city manager, our departments, and all of us work together with external stakeholders to communicate what's going on in Chula Vista. And so we're working on this process. We have tactics that we use. We have distribution avenues that we use. We have audiences that we reach out to. And we have messages that we're trying to promote. So we will further develop this process and roll it out internally, and people will see it externally as our communications process expands so that we're all talking with one voice, saying the same messages, having access to the tools to communicate those messages, and at all the circle. We did have it going and going, but we thought that would make us blind. But the circle will just continue to go so that we always have the information we need. So with that, I thought I would stop here and reference what's at your desk. This packet includes 18 fact sheets that we've prepared that we're going to be posting to the website. These are hot off the press, and they are anything from a general Chula Vista fact sheet to a recreation fact sheet to an economic development fact sheet to an outdoor fact sheet. So that's information about all of the assets in Chula Vista. One quick glance at how we're promoting those. So we're going to make those available, and you're the first ones we're making them available to. You also have some Chula Vista bling, and this black bracelet is a USB port. And on here, thanks to Kim Shands and Diane and Stephanie and Norma Frank from IT, we have a PowerPoint that's going to be on here that you can use when you go out and about. We have PDFs of all of the fact sheets. We have a link to the sales tax data, and we have links to our Twitter, Facebook, website, Shop Chula Vista Now. All of those elements are here on the USB port. And we'll be able to, just to get a little further into the weeds, it actually takes you to a website, so we'll be able to upload new information as we have it. So when you're printing a fact sheet, if you use this, you'll always have the most current version, and you'll be able to check that for any new versions. So this is your Chula Vista bling, and gives you some tools that you've asked for that you can use to communicate about Chula Vista, and we'll all be using the same tools. So Chula Vista continues in motion. We use our website to promote a lot of the We use our website to communicate the day-to-day activities, and that is a very robust website. We've had 250,000 visits since the start of the year. We know that people use it because we oftentimes get emails if something's wrong with what we've distributed. So that's, I guess, in one way it's a bad thing, but it's another way at least people are looking at what we're sending out. I may have to escape out of this and go back to this. So sorry, folks, for the... So there's our website. We also are in the news a lot, as you know. We were lucky we got our own American Idol, but that was another thing that put us on the map. And this, we're all familiar with our... with the implosion that, again, put us on the map nationally and internationally with this item being picked up throughout the country and the world. But we don't have to blow things up to make news around here. I know that you see the press releases that our team sends out. You see the news coverage that we get, some good, some bad. But I would have to say that it's mostly good these days with all of the things that are going on that you just saw there. Since the start of the year, we've had more than 200 articles or television pieces just from January to April alone. And we send out, Diane sends out 3 to 5 press releases a week. So we really work to keep our name out in the community, and that's not the only way. We will continue to develop some targeted efforts, and we're going to talk a little bit more about our image and branding. We're looking to upgrade our website. We have access to, I want to get this name right, Public Education and Government Cable Access System Funds, or PEG funds, that we can use to provide tools and services to the public we serve through our cable networks. So we're going to look at upgrading our website and making it more user-friendly, making it more 21st century, and making it compatible with mobile devices so that we're really on the cutting edge of providing information to our public. We will continue to expand our speakers bureau, and as Michael said, what can you do? This is another thing you can do. Use the tools that we're providing to get out and about in the public. I'm not saying you don't. I see you out there already, but together, you know, we can continue to expand how we're getting out there, what we're saying. Councilmember Aguilar asked about a survey. I think that would be very important if we did a very good tool to have a public opinion survey, a research survey to show us what people are thinking, and what are the priorities that we should have here in Chula Vista to inform not only our marketing efforts, but some of the other efforts we're talking about if we're looking at other revenue sources in the future, going to the voters, that kind of thing. So it'd be good to start doing that and then have it at intervals so we can track over time what people are thinking. We continue to leverage partnerships. I thought I would tell you about SCAMP, South County Alliance of Marketing Professionals, and that is a group of communications folks like myself from healthcare, business, education, other public agencies. We get together monthly to strategize and talk about all of the great things going on in Chula Vista, so we share information that we have so that we are all, again, speaking with one voice. And then we're all involved in a number of other organizations, and we can go back out and share that information in the other circles in which we travel. We also work with the Chamber of Commerce, with the Third Avenue Village Association folks, South County EDC, to get the word out and to coordinate and collaborate. I think you know that we work with Sandag, MTS, and the South County cities. We're collaborating to get the word out about what's going on in South County and what's going on in Chula Vista. And then the final bullet there, the League of Cities, you know that we belong to the League of Cities, and they are looking to launch some communications tools for cities. And they wanted to have a test city, and they came to us. They selected two cities in the state. They went to Mill Valley, and they came to Chula Vista. And they're developing a communications toolbox for cities so that they would have access to resources so that they have quality communications tools. But the reason they came to us is because we have a quality communications program, and they thought it would be good to test some of these tools with us. But that will give us access to a survey that they've developed. It will give us access to experts who will do an audit of our website, which would be good as we look to updating our website. So we'll have access to personnel and tools to further refine and enhance our marketing and communications efforts. We had our first meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we see this being a 3 to 6 month effort this year. Other ways we're in motion, you've seen on the web, we launched Twitter, and we really expanded Facebook this year. So we continue to use all of the at various avenues to get the word out, and we have a very robust showing on Facebook and Twitter. I wouldn't call them legions yet, but hopefully we'll get to break the 1,000 mark in the coming days and weeks. You know that we started the holiday shopping season with Shop Chula Vista Now. Our first big marketing effort was an economic development program, and I believe Councilmember Salas did reference that other cities do these shop local campaigns. It's certainly something that that isn't just what Chula Vista has done, but I think that we ended up with a very creative way to implement this. We're getting a lot of good feedback. But to use another term someone said tonight, we're just scratching the surface. We started with a modest amount of funding to do some advertising, to develop a website, to print the initial 70,000 cards. But we are looking to expand that next year, and we're asking for a little bit more funding in the city manager's budget to do some more with this program next year. Our website, even though we're going to redo our website, it certainly serves us very well now. And I wanted to show you this to just comment on a couple of things that we've got going there. The community events calendar was developed by our IT folks to provide an online forum to promote community events in the city. So anytime you can go in there, and there are 10 to 15 events per week on there from that people in Chula Vista can go to. It has to be a Chula Vista event, but community events, meetings, seminars. So that's a nice tool and resource that we've gotten a lot of use out of. And then community connection, we have looked at ways to improve how we communicate with our newsletter, and we've converted this to an online version, and it's done two things. It has completely enhanced how it looks. It's provided more room because we're not confined to an 8.5 or an by 11 or 8.5 by 14 page, and it automates it to a large degree. So Kim Shands developed the design, and Diane Howell, who has been the chief editor all these years, is able to write the stories, drop them into the template, push a button, and send it out. So we've eliminated Kim having to do the design work of it every month, so it frees her up to do more of her great graphic design work. So I wanted you to know about that. And lastly, not only are we on Facebook and Twitter, but Nixle. We were one of the pilot cities for Nixle, and so that is used throughout the city through communications, public works, police, again, to get the word out. So we're trying to maximize all of these tools so that we can make sure that we have consistent messages getting out to our public. Events is a big part of what we do. And we have events anywhere from large concerts out in at the amphitheater to fun runs and other events. And we have been looking at streamlining that process. I know we've shared some of that with you, but we want to streamline it even more so that the routine events can be somewhat automated as well, so that we can go after some of the larger signature events. It's I'll speak for Stephanie, too. It's our dream to get something big here. I know I say Coachella or Rock and Roll Marathon. We know they have their place, but something big in Chula Vista because we have great venues, a great location to draw people to the city. Another item that's been mentioned from the dais is Councilmember Aguilar has asked us to look into doing some holiday observances as part of the special event process, so I thought I would get your input on that tonight. And there may be opportunities. We've already looked into teaming with the Veterans Commission to have a City of Chula Vista presence and partnership for Memorial Day. I've reached out to Southwestern Community College. They did a Martin Luther King Day celebration this year, and they're going to continue to do that to see if there's interest in us partnering with them so that we put the City of Chula Vista stamp on a couple of holiday observance events. So I would appreciate getting your input on that when we move to that part of the conversation. And then lastly, I think you know that a lot of great work comes out of Kim Shanz's office. She has already this year developed more than 150 items from posters, car wraps, logos, brochures, candy wraps. She even designed a candy wrap once. So she really does a great job using her graphic skills to really portray Chula Vista and all of our programs and services in a creative and professional way. So, you know, all of the things that you see, we couldn't do that without her either. She works with our economic development team to make their items look good, too. So that is just scratching the surface of what we do, but we thought it would be good to have Marley come here, Marley Ehrenfeld from MGE Marketing. She, as you know, developed our Shop Chula Vista Now program. We really liked how that worked. We really liked how she used the research about Chula Vista to set the stage with Shop Chula Vista Now as a way, a launching point to looking at the image and brand for the entire city. I know HiBeam started that effort back in 2009 and finished up in 2011, and that gave us some information on how we might consider our image and brand going forward. So we've turned that information over to Marley and asked her to take a look at what we could do from this point with our image and branding. So I'd like to turn it over to Marley to present that. So she's going to go to the microphone, and her trusty assistant is going to run the slides. Oh, yeah. Why don't you just sit here and do it? There's that, too.
So thank you. It's nice to be here again, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of this with you. So with that said, one of the things that informed us, you had already done a tremendous amount of research. You'd already had work and materials that informed what we did moving forward. 2004 report sort of concluded with the final goal was to improve and elevate the city's overall image. 2009, yet again, elevate the city as a leader in the region. And 2012, you also concluded you needed to do something and maybe put teeth into some of those findings, and we rolled out Shop Chula Vista Now. So let's talk a little bit about the branding itself, what we've been doing. We've had the privilege of doing branding both in the private sector for publicly traded companies for a number of years. At the same time, we're working with a lot of public agencies right now for branding, including Sandag, the City of La Mesa, City of Chula Vista, and other organizations. The San Diego County Department of Parks and Rec is looking at a cost recovery sales revenue program and realized they needed an identity. They needed that positioning. So this is a critical component that everybody is moving towards. What we have here is the City of Chula Vista is a unique multicultural community. It is the very definition of a Southern California city in the 21st century. As you know, Los Angeles just surpassed its Hispanic population, is now over 50%. I think you're fairly iconic, and I think that's something you should embrace. I think this is how Southern California cities will be defined moving forward. So we need to give people a feeling and a sense of this. We also know there's boundaries. There's boundaries internally in between East and West. We need to give them a sense of place, the ability to step over those boundaries and embrace the entire city. So what we want to do is create a vibrant, a sense of, a positioning, a branding, all of the buzzwords, but create a vibrant location that creates a people climate. And we found that kind of over and over as we did this. I don't think you can see yourself as a secondary city. We see an entire culture of history, of art, of food, culinary, and of businesses. Once again, I think you better define how cities should be and what they will look like as we move forward to the future. So we did a whole branding exercise. We actually have a strategic plan, positioning, branding, and a creative premising, all of the sort of academic work that you do, and much of it was informed by research that you've done over the years. And this is what we came away with as a collective and with Ann's team, that the attributes, relational, welcoming, convenient, the benefits, competitive, professional, and resourceful. What is the value? It's loyal, professional, it's respectful. And what is the culture? It is multicultural, it is young, it is lively. Everything you need to live, work, and play can be found in Chula Vista. You are not alone in this effort. And there are some remarkable efforts being undertaken right now. Oregon, Travel Oregon, has defined itself and broken itself out. It was not benefiting as a state. Certain parts were popular, certain parts were not. When the recession hit, with tourism being one of their number two economic drivers, they tanked. They tanked big time. They also competed with each other, different cities within the state itself. This is a bit broader, but they didn't share. They didn't play well together. So they went out and realized that they had to brand it as a region overall. They had to come up with a definition for every single city, every single thing that you could do there, from rivers to mountains to food. And they came up with Travel Oregon. And they also got Granola Nature Valley Bars to underwrite their entire portal website, which is now being recognized internationally. Austin has done a marvelous job. Austin has its very own soundtrack. When you're there, they also have T-shirts that say, "Keep Austin Weird," but we decided not to show that to you. But Austin has fully embraced both its liabilities and its assets and turned all of them, they believe, into assets. And they're making a remarkable comeback. And as you know, Governor Perry made the big pitch here in San Diego that San Diego businesses should move to Austin and move forward. Orange County did something very interesting, sort of a bland, homogenous area. They recognized that. They recognized that there was not a lot of there. So they defined the different regions. They defined who they were. They had coastal cities. They had business districts. They had historic. And they started breaking it out so that there was more definition, once again, putting more teeth into their identity and who they are. Atlanta is a fascinating story to me, I think, what they've done. They've also done a very big publicity push, so there's lots of news stories, travel stories, food stories. They're everywhere right now. But they, too, took some of their liabilities, the traffic congestion, the broadness of the city, the fact that there were areas that were disadvantaged, but maybe had great culture, maybe had great food. So they wrapped it up and once again came up with these neighborhoods, came up with these identifiers that crossed all boundaries. They also took a negative, which was an abandoned beltway, which is an abandoned rail line that looked bleak, but in reality was a walking, hiking, biking trail that connected all around the beltway, and they turned that into having artists and people, and they planted and they painted and turned that into a very positive thing. San Diego, very much the same thing. I had the privilege at a young age of being the president of the Gas Lamp Quarter Foundation before it was called the Gas Lamp. And we did not know what the heck to call that area. And we used to have to be escorted from our board meetings with police to our cars because there was nothing there. It was very dangerous. There were sex shops and strip clubs, and it was just an exciting time. And then Ernie Hahn came in and developed that area. And we couldn't decide if we should be called downtown San Diego. We couldn't decide if we should be called the Stingaree, the Old West, Little China. And ultimately came up with the Gas Lamp District, which, as you know, is thriving and booming today and clearly has its own identity. So CCDC also took advantage of that. And you can see that we have Little Italy, Cortez, Columbia Core, Horton Plaza, Marina, East Village. So they came up with a way also to identify these communities or these neighborhoods. And, of course, on a grand level, the state of Oregon, from Greater Portland to Willamette Valley to Oregon Coast, Mount Hood, Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon. If you click on any of these, the attributes, the values, the things you can do come up, but each cross-purposes the other. At any given time, you can jump over and look at other areas of the state. Yeah, I thought this kind of, well, it doesn't look like we have audio again. Well, I'm sorry, I'm afraid we've lost the audio. I thought we'd fix this earlier. This is Andrew Zimmern, who's a very, very popular host, chef, writer on the Travel Network, and he did a story on Chula Vista. And what we did was we edited the parts where he defined, very much so, about Chula Vista and it being, you know, this amazing multicultural city on the border. I really can't do it justice, and I'm sorry that the audio has failed, but they also featured and talked about the family, the food, the cuisine, the history.
In this California border town.
And it was on. Okay. Do you want me to go back?
Yeah.
Exactly halfway between downtown San Diego and the Mexican border is the town of Chula Vista. It's got the largest Hispanic population in the San Diego metro, and it's a treasure trove of Mexican comfort foods and cooking styles rarely found on this side of the border. Chula Vista is a great place for finding eateries with a true taste of Mexico. But the truest taste of any culture comes in a home-cooked meal shared with friends and family.
Unbelievable. You also have a lovely family. I look at people's families. It's the greatest achievement in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Foreign tastes and traditions are around every corner in this California border town.
I find that very welcoming, and I find it very interesting that rather than just talking about San Diego and going to our coastline or going to downtown, that he took a step outside and was impressed. There's also a segment which he describes as the world's greatest tortas, which is a food truck that Michael assures me is still here and seems quite remarkable. So we spent a lot of time looking at your past research, looking at your goals, what you needed to do, and how do we create this sense of place? How do we meld what's good, what's bad, the good, the bad, the ugly? But it is ours. I think North Park is another fantastic example of taking sort of a tricky area and creating a very vibrant, almost that professional class community at this point. I think Chula Vista, you are already there. As I said, you are the iconic Southern California city, and we need to somehow envelop ourselves in that and make people move forward and feel that excitement and be inspired. And these are some of the things that inspired us. Now, as you know, we had really liked the idea, that overarching idea that it's an urban orchard, because at one time you were the largest citrus growers and the citrus providers, and still have your Lemon Festival this day. So we continue to like that idea. We also like the idea of your walkable, your ecotourism, and what you have here from the sports facilities. So we've come up with, we think, or we hope, is a look and identity that sparks enthusiasm and captures who you are, the diversity of who you are, brings the culture, brings the vibrancy. I think you are a very vibrant city, and we need to capture that. We need to put a face to that. So one of the ways that we think that you should do that is create your communities, knowing that we need to get people to go from the east to the west and vice versa, and embrace everything that we are and who we are. In working with Ann and her team and Jim, came up with the idea of, if this is the city, what can we do to make these things stand out? What can we do so we become a gas lamp, so we become North Park and South Park? So the Bayfront, recreation, ecotourism, and marina. Downtown, business, historic, cultural. Main Street, open space, attractions, commercial. The Ranch, retail, community, parks. And lastly, the lakes, family, sports, outdoors. And all of it was surrounded by a green belt, by the lakes and the land and the green belt. And think what we could do by creating. When we talk about what are we going to provide businesses, how do we give them a sense of identity? You know, Carlsbad just launched their new look and identity in their Visit Carlsbad. So we think that this is the way that we can capture this, is taking what you already have, melding the cultures, having you stand up and say, this is who Southern California is in the 21st century, and embracing that and moving forward. And so with that, I'll go ahead and let Ann continue.
Thanks.
Thank you, Marley.
So thank you. So as Marley said, this is what we're moving forward with in our next steps in this iterative process of identifying and finalizing our image and brand. We were able to ask Marley to take another step to kind of frame this for us. We're going to focus group it a little bit, talk about it a little more. You know, we got it ready for this presentation, wanted to share it with you. I've requested some funding again for next year's budget so we can take this to the next step. Marley has drafted a strategic plan that we would flow in to the work we're doing so that we can roll out this image and brand, and it can work with what Michael's doing, work with what our other teams are doing to really have a unified identity. So we wanted to share that with you so that you could see what we're thinking, see how we think all of this comes together right now as we are moving forward, the city of the future, the city of the 21st century. And with that, we can turn my part over to you.
Thank you very much. First, I didn't know that our two council members who left are really gone. I thought maybe they were taking a quick step-out break. So as I leave, you're going to be left without a quorum. So I'm going to respond for myself and then see where Ms. Salas and Ms. Bensusan come in the next 3 or 4 minutes, and then turn this over to Ms. Bensusan. Actually, I think without a quorum, I don't need to adjourn the meeting. It gets adjourned itself. But one, Anne, was you asked for some direction from the council. Without a quorum, we can't give you any direction.
Okay.
Mine is not so much direction as a suggestion. Given that we are in the middle of a lot of negotiations for a lot of things, I cannot see spending those dollars that would cost us to promote a single minded event by the city of Chula Vista, but I certainly support partnering with the Veterans Home, with Southwestern College, with, in essence, a larger organization who might welcome our participation. The second is, as you were asked for information for on how do we as council members, in fact, I think it was Michael who was asked for information, how do we as council members go out to the public and share the ideas that certainly were at least referenced that we don't have a whole lot of knowledge about. I think what you have presented is far more doable by people on this dais who don't have the expertise or experience, as Michael had mentioned, in HUB and in, I mean, I'm waiting for EB-5 visas, and I don't want to get dangerous out there and talking about something I'm not as familiar with as I might be. But I think what you're talking about in marketing this city, and in essence, it's the talking up Chula Vista. I said it in my State of the City address, and I'll say it again. If we're going to get businesses to locate here and families to feel good about the fact that they're here, I'm not talking about pulling the wool over anybody's eyes, but talking up this city. It's a wonderful city. I was at a Coldwell Banker meeting this afternoon right after the police awards ceremony, and I told them about the awards that had been given out, about the safety of this city, certainly about the power plant and the next steps on the bayfront, and the fact we're going to acquire land for Job Park and University at no cost to taxpayers. They were wowed by that. And I think any one of us with that kind of tidbit of information, no matter where we're going, can certainly entertain some people with some things and some facts that are easy. I've got to applaud you on this, because although I would probably not, in the events that I go to, use something like a PowerPoint, it certainly begins to frame in your mind
the images that you and Marley have presented, so thank you for that. One word of caution is the communities that Marley mentioned. I'm glad you're using the word community. This city is going to be, I predict, I said it before and I'll say it again, shredded by the notion of dividing this city into districts that will have to pay attention to population numbers, and they'll have to pay attention to ethnic mix and to economic mix. I would want people to be reassured that these are marketing communities, they're living communities, something that gets it so far away from thinking that a political district will be drawn down Main Street, or that this little Bayfront district will have its own council member. And what is good about this, that little blue and brown and orange and whatever, is there's five of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got four council members. So somebody sooner or later is going to say, well, are you going to elect another council member? If we don't get it right the first time, that these are marketing communities, or I'm sure, Marley, you've done this enough before to come up with some sort of a terminology that will reassure people. This is completely different from the political situation in which the city will find itself in 2015.
Understood, and that was actually, you know, very much in the conversations mm-hmm. as we were doing this, and also something Orange County encountered as they broke up into their communities.
Okay. I regret that I have to leave this group, but the city of Chula Vista has been nominated for both a Golden Fleece and a Watchdog Award, and I've accepted plenty of Golden Fleeces. I'm determined not to have to wear a Bo Peep costume tonight and see if we can be in the running for a Golden Watchdog. With that, Ms. Bensusan, if you will take over. You get to make your comments, but I have to leave. So Donna is now going to use, pardon me?
No direction.
You know what, let's take a quick notion of direction. Pamela, if you just pick up the idea of direction, we can do the direction
yeah.
if you're so interested. But I really need to leave.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
I have lots of comments, and I'll elaborate on the comments after Mayor leaves. But in terms of direction, I think that you're on the right track with the with Chula Vista embracing its cultural diversity. That is iconic in Southern California, and I like the five neighborhoods, and I don't see them as dividing the entire city like you've drawn them here. I would just make them smaller and as hub centers in the city. So because the way you've drawn it, it looks like districts, and you're cutting the city into portions, which is, I think.
Excuse me, Pamela, could yeah. you speak to the direction to Anne about Ms. Aguilar's reference to use city funds to host?
Yeah, events? I was gonna get there.
I'm just gonna try to get you to that, okay. get Mary to that.
But this was a big issue, dividing the city. And I love it, but I would make it hubs, and so it doesn't cut up the city. But the ranch, the lakes, all that is wonderful. But you know, be careful. And I think it's more identities of these different attractions in the city, in neighborhoods, and in terms of big events. I'd like to see us grow what we already have in terms of big events. One of the big events that's coming up in September is we've been working on the Harbor Days event for 3 years now. It was a decades-long event before, but it went away, and we brought it back, and we've done it for 3 years. And this year we're stepping it up into a major event. We're changing the identity to Harbor Fest instead of Harbor Days. We're embracing, it's a one-day event now, it's Harbor Fest. We're embracing the Hispanic aspect and diversity of our city by, instead of having a generic beer garden and wine tasting, we're having Baja wine tasting, Baja craft beers, Mexican seafood fest. So we're focusing on those flavors for our Harbor Fest, which we're promoting as a regional event. The port is going to step up their sponsorship. We're hiring a professional event producer. This isn't going to cost the city any money. This will be produced by grants and sponsorships and support from the port. So we don't need the city to spend a lot of money on events. And events really work better ground up than top down anyway. And so I'd like to see us embrace this Harbor Fest as a huge regional event that you're going to see become a very popular regional event.
Don't go away. Okay. I'm not going to lose you, but I really need to get Mary to answer, to do that direction so that if there is a consensus of a council, she knows what that direction is. And then, Ms. Salas, if you will allow Ms. Bensusan to finish her comment. So this was specifically in relationship to Ms. Steinberger's request for council direction.
I will. And this is specific to the notion of whether or not we should expand our focus on other community events. There are a number of groups that already honor and participate in celebratory events that I don't think the city should be in competition with, but I think that we should be in cooperation with. And so for those organizations that do a great job, it would be my notion, and I believe that we could get more exposure and a better bang for the buck if we partnered with them and assisted them in making their events even more special. So with that, Madam Mayor, I would like to make a motion that in the foreseeable future that we partner with other organizations rather than to take this on ourselves.
I'm content with that and I'm ready to second the motion, but I'm wondering if you might accept a friendly amendment to incorporate what Ms. Bensusan had indicated, and that is to make the most of the activities we're currently doing that are not at taxpayer cost.
Yes. Yes.
But summarize it? Okay. Yes. You have a motion. You have a second.
Madam Mayor, I know you're trying to get out, but one last comment.
I just want to be clear. It was for holiday observances. I get what you're saying. So the holiday observances, we'd partner and ground up some of these other events.
Perfect. Yes, and specifically those events that honor Cesar Chavez, right. Martin Luther King, right. And a whole number of other events that go on in the community. Okay.
Thank you, and that allows me then to say if Jessica Sanchez Part 2 wins the American Idol, we didn't use taxpayer dollars last time. My anticipation would be not to use them again. You know, if Parkview Little League comes around again, we didn't use taxpayer dollars then, wouldn't anticipate doing that. Madam Clerk, you've got the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? You've got your direction. Again, Marley, thank you very much. Anne, Craig, Michael, thank you. This meeting now, as far as comments, we'll go back to Pamela for her comments, Mary for her comments, and we will see you a week from Tuesday at 2 o'clock on the March 21st meeting. Pamela.
Okay, just going back to my comments. First of all, I want to congratulate our fabulous team. I think that it's quite an honor that League of Cities chose us, and I think it's because of the talent on our team. And a lot of this design work, I know Kim had a hand in it, and she's extremely talented, and you've kind of been able to identify the great talent we have in our city and pull it together and kind of push it in a direction, which I think is great. In terms of these
fact sheets
here, what are they called?
I'm calling them fact sheets.
Fact sheets. These are great. I have some suggestions. The one on the bayfront, this is great for marketing the bayfront to people, you know, far away or developers or whatever. But I would love to see a fact sheet about our existing bayfront. Mm-hmm. Because we are not acknowledging the fact that we already have some wonderful activities and resources and you know activity centers on the bayfront. We have two marinas, a yacht club, an RV center, a boating launch, a park, a little beach. We have great resources existing on the bayfront. So let's not just treat our bayfront as something that's going to be great. Let's embrace what we've got there already to get people there now. So that's my suggestion on the bayfront one. On the shopping one, I'd like to see more emphasis on the design center, because that's a big sales tax, retail sales tax type thing, and we do have a design center, so I'd like to see it get a little better promoted. And and then I'd like to see something on restaurants, and you know, maybe emphasizing the themes. We have quite a few Mexican restaurants. We have wonderful seafood restaurants. We have Italian restaurants. We have sushi restaurants. So I'd like to see that's really kind of sexy, the fact that we have this huge number of restaurants, but they're not the restaurant information doesn't ever get kind of corralled into specialties or districts or something. So I'd like to see some where you work on that element, on the restaurant element. And then Marley left, but I had a comment for her on the identity and the branding and the, and which is what I would like to see us. Well, you have one of these fact sheets on clean air, water, and land, but I'd like to see it a little more sexy again. And Chula Vista is a cool city, so says the Sierra Club, that we are a cool city. We've won so many awards, unbelievable number of awards. We are known all over the country as cutting edge, you know, in terms of our environmental sustainability policies. So I'd like to see it captured a little bit here. Instead of saying that we're just clean and nice, this is makes us seem like we're too clean and nice and pristine without capturing the fact that we're aware of the earth and protecting the earth and being here, having policies that are forward-thinking, and that we are a cool city. So if you could somehow capture that, and I think that might be a Marley thing to also to point out to her. Okay. So let me see. And I'm sure Michael can help you, and Brendan can help you, capture some of that language that goes with that, because we have such a long list of awards and honors, and it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for the public to know that when they, as soon as they think Chula Vista, they think that we're this like forward-looking city. In addition to being an iconic Southern California town, we're also a town of the future that's very forward-thinking and conscious of our environment, and goes with our ecotourism. So, you know, put ecotourism in there, because we've got all these natural resources. And also in her hub idea of marketing activities, the Otay Valley Regional Park is another big resource. I mean, there's a lot of tourism effort gets promoting San Diego's river park areas, and we have this wonderful set of trails, and we're not really doing a good job in Chula Vista of promoting that. So that's another big feature to. I know it's listed here somewhere on your materials, but there's no push for it. And I also wanted to tell her in her video clip there, one of the statements that was made was used in marketing 50 years ago on a postcard, which I have a number of, I think it was even from the 40s. I have a number of postcards from a long time ago, the first half of the century, and there's one that says that Chula Vista is halfway between San Diego and Mexico, and it kind of pushes that as something really, really interesting. This is the place that's halfway. It sort of puts us on the map, this halfway in between here and there. And that guy, that video guy, captured that sentiment. So let's see. I'm sure I'll think of more things that I'll email you, but that's what I got so far.
Thank you, and I think Deputy Mayor did a great job of really adding some really good suggestions, and One of the things that I did pick up on was, you know, the halfway between Mexico and San Diego. So if there's some way that you could work in that Chula Vista is a gateway to international markets, something like that, you know, to bring emphasis on that. And also, I really want to emphasize the positive. And every city has gone through budget deficits, and every city is climbing out in one way or the other. I think that the city of Chula Vista has done remarkable things that you speak about, you know, about the pension reform and the leaner workforce. But I don't think that we have to say that Chula Vista has made great progress out of climbing out of a budget hole, because it makes us seem like we're still there. So I would, you know, really phrase that in a more positive way. But otherwise, I think that you've done really good work. My only thought on this is I haven't seen the finished product as to how you're going to hand this out or utilize this, if you're just going to have it on brochure racks or if it's going to be within a package. I know that it's on the website. But I would just say that if this is on a website, a lot of people browse through things really quickly, and the type might be a little small, or it may be a little, you know, wordy for a text heavy for a website. And if, you know, it depends on how you're going to utilize this, right? If you're going to send it out into a package to a company, of course they want the most detailed information possible. So that's just some of my suggestion. But other than that, you've done great work. I hope that, you know, we utilize all this information and the good work that you've done to make sure that we truly get the message out about what a wonderful place Chula Vista is to locate your companies, to expand our existing companies. And I think that that's so important, is keep the emphasis on our existing companies and how can we set those policies and accommodate them so that they're successful. Because study after study shows it's not the new attraction necessarily that builds your business base, but it's those existing companies that expand that add to the job market. So more emphasis on those companies that we have here. Let's make sure that all the companies and restaurants and business entities that we have here know that the city of Chula Vista acknowledges their importance and that we want to make sure that they thrive, and it will be a benefit to both them and our citizens in Chula Vista. And those are the suggestions that I have.
Just a couple of comments. Thank you. Those were really good, helpful, insightful inputs that we can use. Just a few things real quick and that I wanted to mention is, you know, we did have the same debate and understanding of about how district elections could affect this, and we just don't want it to be about politics. So one of the things we talked about, too, is, you know, we tried to come up with some generic names but that meant something. And we know that within each of those areas are a lot of small communities, too, Castle Park, Hilltop. And we want to, as we get into it, identify those, too, because people really have emotional relationships with those in this city. A second comment is you were asking Councilwoman Salas, you know, how we would use these. One of the things that we're working on is developing a process, and our hope is that as information feeds comes in from different places, including from our departments, when they see really good things, it'll come into Ann and her team, and we'll figure out how to get it out there. And part of that will be sending council members out to speak on different topics. It might be sending me, might be sending the fire chief, press releases, community connection, TV spots. We really want to really get into this and promote our city in a big way. And finally, I've really been excited by the work that Marley's done. She just seems to have a gift with this. So we're going to be doing more work with her to really further this program and get it out there. But, you know, in my mind, I've said it before, I think the council, you know, it's my job to run the city, but it's your job to set policy, to adopt a budget, and pick a city manager, of course, too. But I think a big thing is you're better spokespeople than we are. So we want to give you the tools, and there'll be more of them, to get you out there in the community and in the region to promote our city.
Just one last thing. Thank you very much. And I've always told you I'm available to go out into the community and work with you, even on company visitations, anything that you need. I really believe that that's one of the responsibilities of a council member, is to be the face of the city, and we need to be able to assist you in doing that. I'm glad you brought the districts up again, because it does need a great deal of a refinement, because the way that they're drawn right now is, for example, the downtown area encompasses way more than the downtown. The ranch really goes outside of the ranch, all the way to Bonita. So really needs a lot more refinement on how you're drawing your districts and hubs. And I think that Deputy Mayor Bensoussan said it right. You need to speak about the hubs. And glad you mentioned neighborhoods, because nobody knows the neighborhood I grew up in, and that's Harborside. And I'm very proud of Harborside.
Okay, I guess we're already adjourned, so I don't need to adjourn the meeting. But thank you, everybody, for attending and for your great work and good reports. All right. Looking forward to part two.